1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And the Bible's provided. It is on page 1164. 1164. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of Gentiles, when we walked in licentiousness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit.
Good evening. It is a blessing, again, that we can come together and examine the Word of God. I'm grateful to those who have given unto me the opportunity, the leadership, so that you might glean something from God's Word this evening that would help you and me to be stronger Christians. Let us recognize what the Apostle Peter is here saying. Even as we look at what is going on in the world today, examine the mediums or media by which we get our information. There was a time when the newspaper was very popular, but you notice that that is going by the wayside. You turn on your smartphone and you have all the news before you, or your television. But even as you do that, you'd recognize that one of the things that we often are confronted with is the idea of militant warfare. You'd hear them talk about militant Islam, for example. But not only militant Islam who have their jihad, as they call it, having this warfare, but you have those who are in Christendom who also do this militant business of, let's call it, the movement Right to Life, who would commit acts of violence in the name of Christ. We ask ourselves a question. Should we, therefore, as servants of the King, followers of the Prince of Peace, also be militant? If you would notice from Peter's statement, Peter here calls upon us to also be militant, but not in the carnal sense. Because our warfare is not in the flesh. Our warfare, as Paul would have us know, is in the spirit. For we wrestle not against flesh, and blood. That's not where our warfare is. That's not where our fight is. As a matter of fact, if we'd remember Jesus, when he was being tried, he made reference to what the kingdom of God really is. And so in John the 18th chapter and the 36th verse, he said here that his kingdom was not of this world. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Remember when Peter was ready to fight, he told Peter to put away the sword. For those who live by the sword will also perish by the sword. Jesus made clear that we have a fight, but we are fighting for the souls of men. That's where our warfare is, trying to get men and women to surrender their lives to Christ. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in verse 12, notice here that we are engaged in a spiritual struggle, both within and without. The spiritual struggle with which we are engaged is not only out there in the world, but we've got some fighting to do in the church. I could remember that many years ago, maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, Church of Christ didn't have some of the problems that is being realized today. But things have changed, and they're continuing to change. That's why we need strong men, strong women, and thank God for the leadership that we have here at Avondale. Because we've got some stuff going on out there in the world and under the umbrella of Church of Christ that is completely foreign to the Word of God. We need to stick with the Word. We need to fight on the outside and fight on the inside. Thank God that He has given that responsibility to the eldership so that they are charged with watching for our souls, fighting the good fight, Paul says, of faith. We've got to continue this battle. But let's go back here to our text of the hour. 1 Peter, the chapter is 4, and to remind you, verses 1 through 6. Armed with the mind of Christ. That's our first thing. We need to be armed with the mind of Christ. It's not like we have nothing to fight with. If you got the mind of Christ, we have all the weaponry that we need. So, if we arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, how do we go about doing that? What was the mind of Christ like? The mind of Christ was willing to suffer. Did you notice Peter said that? If you got the mind of Christ, you have to be willing to suffer. We had something in the news this past week about the soldiers that perished. those men in the army, when they signed up, when they volunteered, they knew that they might be called to pay the ultimate, as they say, sacrifice. Jesus asked us to be willing to suffer. Remember what he said, that if you give your life for my sake, you will not really, in effect, lose your life, but you will find it. So we must be willing, if it be possible, or if we are called upon, to suffer for the name of Christ. Received a correspondence recently. Boy, you do get everything on the internet, but you can't believe everything on the internet. But there was a sister in Christ whom I knew from back in Puerto Rico. And she passed on this message that says, please pray for the Christians in India. And then she went on to express how that there are churches that are being burnt. People are being killed because they are trying to propel the name of Christ, the religion of Islam. Now they are trying to destroy those who spread the gospel of Christ. So we see here we must be prepared and must be willing. No, we are in our comfort zone in America, aren't we? Not very likely that it's going to happen, because we have what? Freedom of religion. But if you notice, freedom of religion is not too free. And gradually, you have those who are trying to take a little at a time to see if they can break that down. The Church of Jesus Christ must stand up. The Church of Jesus Christ must be prepared. The Church of Jesus Christ must fight the good fight of faith. Jesus died for us. He had his battle. And he died for us, and he said that we too must even be willing to give our lives for his sake. You know, in the early church, the more they were persecuted, the more the church spread. Why is that so? Because the people who were converted back then were completely sold to the cause. They were sold to the cause of Christ. They were willing to die for Christ. If Christ died for me, why shouldn't I then be willing to give my life for him, knowing that I'm not going to lose it? I'll find it in the end. The reason we should be willing to suffer for Christ, because he suffered for us. Is it therefore too much to ask that we be willing to give our lives for one who loved us so dearly? One who has embraced the mind of Christ, and those whose life are in danger will not succumb to the world and its temptation. A person who is willing to die will not give in to temptation. Let me rephrase that. If you are so sold on the cause of Christ, that death is not a threat to you. Because you know that your life is not a loss, but that your life with Christ or in Christ is secure. A person who is willing to give his life for Christ or in honor of the service of Christ, persecution will not shirk him or her from his or her duty, because the life is committed to Christ. Second, the militant in his struggle, he'll struggle against sin. A battle between one soul in the flesh and the spirit. Because you have this constant warfare going on. There is this fight for supremacy. There is this fight for dominance. Who or what is going to control? But the spirit lusteth to envy. And Peter says in the 1 Peter 2 and 12 that there's a battle between one soul of the fleshly lust that wars against the soul. Unless we first win the battle for our souls, our own souls, we'll not be able to help others. What do I mean by that? Winning the battle for one soul. Okay, what did Jesus say? How did he put it? Book of Matthew, if you please. The 7th chapter. Verses 3-5. You remember Jesus there said that if you wants to help your brother, I'm paraphrasing that, you must first remove the plank that is in your eye or your sight before you would be able to help your brother with a little speck that is in his eyes. Well, Paul, what did Jesus mean when he said that I should remove the plank? Well, Paul puts it this way. In the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter, in verse 1, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. God does not expect a weak Christian to strengthen a weak Christian, because that is virtually impossible to do. The strong must bear the infirmities of the weak. Before I can be of assistance to lead someone to God, to Christ, to become a strong Christian, I must first strengthen and protect myself. God expects us to be strong. Why do you think the army train the soldiers? Why do they go to battle? Why didn't they just say, okay, you ready to fight? You go fight. That is dangerous. Not only dangerous to you, but it's also dangerous to those whom you're seeking to protect. Only those who are first prepared can be of assistance or help to us. So the militant Christian, he begins fighting the spiritual warfare with others. Some do it too soon. And if you were to be thrown into the battle too soon, it's not very likely that you're going to succeed, because you don't know what you're doing. Does God want us to be prepared? And the question is yours, and the answer I'll give, yes. God wants us to be prepared to fight the good fight of faith. Another point here, the motivation for this warfare, motivation for this struggle against sin. We have wasted enough time doing what is called the will of the Gentiles. Notice in the passage, Peter refers to the will of the Gentiles. Lives should not be wasted in doing the will of the Gentiles. And he enumerated here some of the things that are called upon or referred to as the will of the Gentiles. Now it is time to live the rest of our lives to the will of God. Briefly summarized in verses 7 through 11. He tells us here all of the things that the Gentiles do that should not be a part of our Christian living. Unless the Christian is first militant in crucifying the flesh and putting to death the deeds of the body, he or she is not likely to have his spiritual needs fulfilled. When the militant Christian is living out the rest of his life in the fear of God, we need to prepare for the fact that we will, one, likely be maligned. Oh, and how some folks are pretty good at that. They're pretty good at really trying to tear you down, to remove your defenses, and to bring you back into captivity, to draw you back into the world, because we no longer join them in their way of life, in their living. Call to remember our remembrance of the former life, the things that we once engaged in, that we have moved on from. Knowing of our friends, maybe the people that we lived around, moved around, worked with, the conversation that we used to have. And once you move away from that, you start letting your light shine. And there are those who would really try to pull you back, get you back into the old way, the old man, as Paul referred to him, the way of living in the past. But if you are really a militant for Christ, you'll fight, and you'll fight to overcome. You will not fight to be overcome, but you, like Jesus, we, like Jesus, we fight to overcome, and we will overcome the world. There is in the world the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, vainglory. There's so much of that going on in the world that we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Strengthen yourself, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to overcome the world. But when the militant is militarized, we have reason to rejoice. See, there's coming a time when we would be able to rejoice. Even as Jesus did point out in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Remember, right about verse 11 and 12, he says that there is going to be persecution. And there is a blessing. In Wednesday's devotion, we saw the blessing. Happy are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. There is a joy. We must be prepared to follow Jesus. The militant Christian is likely to be going through much difficulties, but he knows that the victory is sure. For that reason, he is not going to give up. Let us, as Christians, take to heart the things that God has asked us to do in making our lives an example for others to follow. Peter said that he learned that from Christ. That Christ left us an example to follow in his steps. Walking with the Lord ought to be the most joyous thing that we encounter from day to day. There would be sad times. There would be happy times. But there is coming a time, a glorious time, when we'd all join and gather with him for eternity, world without end. You're here tonight, and you do not know what it is to walk with the King, to be a child of the King, to live for Christ. The opportunity will now be given so that you can surrender your all to him. If you believe that he is the Son of God, then you would believe what he says to repent of your sins. You would also believe that he says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You'd also be willing to put him on in baptism this very night. If that is the desire of your heart, God will work with it and give you the peace that you need. You are here, but you did all of that, but turned your back on the Savior. You too can come back. He asked you to repent. If you'll do that tonight, the joy of heaven awaits you as we stand and sing the song has been chosen.